Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our summer sermon series, we are about halfway through our exploration of our second lessons from the book of Ephesians. We've looked at chapter 1, where Paul talks about how we are graciously adopted into God's family. We've looked at chapter 2, where we've learned how God has reconciled us to one another by grace so that the competing hostile groups become one, breaking down every dividing wall that separates us, walls of hatred and division, making peace through the cross of Christ. In chapter 3, we heard about how we are united by the width and length and height and depth of the love of God that surrounds us and infuses into us so that we might be filled with that love. And we learned how chapter 3 concludes with a prayer that we would know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge and that we would be filled with the fullness of God. Which brings us to this week. To chapter 4. So far, we have heard all of the good things that God has done for us, breaking down the walls, uniting us, reconciling us to God and to one another, filling us with love. That's the what. Chapter 4 takes us now to the so what. God has done all of these wonderful things for us. Now, what do we do with it? Chapter 4 turns practical, with a little word, the single little word, therefore. Three chapters of the what, and now the therefore. What do we do about it? How do we live that unity, that love, that adoption? How do we do it? So chapter 4, our reading begins, therefore, I urge you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called. I urge you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called. That's a tall order, ladies and gentlemen, that we would live lives that are worthy of the grace of God. How do we do that? Before I go on, I need to give a little disclaimer, take a moment to clarify something about our Lutheran tradition, our greatest strength, and sometimes our greatest weakness. Our greatest strength is that we understand that salvation is by grace alone, through Christ alone, through faith alone. It is a gift from God. We do not earn it. There's nothing we can do to deserve it. It is all totally gift. And that is wonderful. And that is great. And that is true. But that same strength can also be a temptation to be apathetic. You know, well, since God has done everything for us, I don't have to do nothing. Well, Dietrich Bonhoeffer called that cheap grace. And Paul in Ephesians reminds us that it does take effort to live a life that is worthy of the calling to which we've been called. You see, Christ didn't only come to adopt and break down walls of hostility and surround us with his love so that when we die we can go to heaven. Well, that is certainly true, but that's not the whole story. He also did those things so that during this life we might live abundantly, peaceful lives and be a witness to the world that the kingdom of God is a reality, that the love of God for all is true and available through us. It's a reality now, not just in the future. So, and then this doesn't sound very Lutheran, but I'll go ahead and say it anyway. We have work to do. We have work to do. Call it, we have a mission to fulfill. We are united in mission together. So, how do we do that? One word. Paul doesn't use it, but I'll use it. One word. Together. We do it together. Paul calls us the body of Christ, that we are all together, different parts with different functions, different gifts, but yet together we are the hands and feet of Christ. Together. We're called to be one body working together to do God's work in this world. Now, being together doesn't mean that we're all the same. Doesn't mean that we all look the same, act the same, think the same. Far from it. In fact, verse 7 tells us that each of us are given different gifts according to the measure that God gives them. Each of us have diverse, different gifts. Just think of the people here at Good Shepherd. We're a pretty homogeneous group, granted, and we're not as diverse as we could be or should be, but we are pretty diverse. There's men and women. There's young and old. There's rich and poor. There's gay and straight. There's married and single. There's people with kids and people without. There's some diversity of race. And beyond that, each and every one of you is a unique individual with your own special talents, passions, gifts from God, and also your own weaknesses and failings and your own junk that you got to work out. You're a diverse, unique set of individuals that God has intentionally made that way so that together we might do God's work in the world. Together. You see, diversity is not a weakness. It is a strength. In one body made up of different parts, we live out our faith, our mission together. Together means everyone, all y'all, have something to contribute. In verse 11 and 12, the gifts he gave that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Many people, when they hear this, they think, oh, I don't fit any of those job descriptions, pastor, teacher, evangelist, so I'm off the hook. I don't have to do nothing. Well, no, not exactly. That's not what it's about. Many people hear that and think that it's talking about how the trained staff, pastors, are to run the church, and your only calling is to show up once in a while on Sunday. No, that's not what it is at all. The Bible doesn't describe the church that way. It's the work of all of us. I know a pastor in Detroit, and when he first went there, they asked him, you know, how would you like your name on your office door? You know, what do you want the little sign to say? And he said, well, first put my name, and then say equipment room. Because he realized that his calling is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, not to do it for everyone, but to equip all of those individuals, all those folks with different talents, different strengths, different abilities, different gifts, together to do the ministry of the church. Sometimes it's gratifying for me to look around and see the people of Good Shepherd and all the marvelous ministries we do. Feed My Starving Children is one of the more notable ones, but it's ministry that goes on day after day. And all of these individual leaders who are doing the ministry, doing the heart of Christ, doing the work of mission every single day. And it's gratifying to see it. And sometimes I sit back and wonder, you know, they're doing it all, and all I'm doing, I'm the traffic cop, you know. And I say, do you do this, and you go that way, and don't not now. But all of that work is being done by all of you, by the people of God together in this place. Because you see, every one of you has something to contribute, a time or talent or treasure, large or small. You have something to share together. Together is what makes us church. Together is what makes us in mission together. Now, Paul is a realist. He also recognizes that together implies growing pains. In fact, he says it. We need to grow up and not be children anymore. We must grow up in every way. Some of us, myself included, are still growing up. Someday when I grow up, I'll get it all figured out. But we know that growing up is not easy. Growth sometimes brings conflict and pain, even in the church. Any group of diverse people who get together to do something productive will discover some kind of conflict along the way. And so mission together is really about conflict management. It's about process, how we do things together, just as much as what we do together. Paul gives us some advice on how to do that. Bear with one another in love, he says. Now, that's more than just putting up with the people that you can't stand. Bearing with someone in Scripture is carrying their burden together, being together with them in their hurts and pains and their struggles, to bear with one another in love. Says to maintain, our job is to maintain the unity of the Spirit. God has already given us unity, but we need to work to maintain it. It takes effort. And then he says, speaking the truth in love. Often that's an excuse for beating people over the head with the truth. But that's not what he means. He means being truthful in your interactions with people. It's more than just the old Texas saying of, oh, bless your little heart, which isn't a blessing at all. It's a put down. You know, it's not a calling for us to beat people over the head with what we know is true, but to be truthful and true in our interactions with one another, that we might be a blessing together. Our calling in all our diversity, is to be together in mission, showing the world what the grace of God looks like, showing the world what the kingdom of God looks like, that it can be and is a reality together in mission. That's what we do. And here at Good Shepherd, we do it well. But as we do that, in our diversity, working together, we discover what it might look like for each of us to lead a life worthy of the calling to which we've been called. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.